Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend. As always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of the weekend editions of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Saturday, April 20th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. We'll start it off with our IL placements, the first one being starting pitcher AJ Puck, who landed on the 15-day IL with a shoulder injury. Puck struggled in his first taste of the rotation in Miami, pitching to a 9.22 ERA across his first four starts. He'll head to the IL and might be out of a rotation spot when he returns. Braxton Garrett is working his way back to the field and would have preference over Puck. We could see Puck join the bullpen when he returns to health. Picking him up for that role now could be smart given Tanner Scott's struggles in the ninth inning and Puck's usage as the team's closer in the first half of 2023. Third baseman Gio Urshela landed on the 10-day IL with a right hamstring strain. The injury was suffered as Urshela ran the bases on Friday. He shouldn't be out much longer than the minimum 10 days, and Matt Vierling shifted to third base in the first game of Urshela's absence. He'll split time with Zach McKinstry and Buddy Kennedy at the hot corner for the Tigers for the time being. And lastly, catcher Francisco Alvarez landed on the 10-day IL with a torn UCL in his left thumb. The team reported that Alvarez is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks following surgery to repair the UCL in his thumb. It's a tough blow for a player who is primed for a breakout campaign. And in Alvarez's absence, Omar Narvaez and Tomas Nito should split duties behind the plate for the Mets. In terms of transactions, first baseman Nathaniel Lowe was activated from the 10-day IL. Lowe began the year on the IL with an oblique injury, and he's made quite a quick recovery and will reclaim everyday duties at first base for the Rangers. In terms of news, first baseman Tristan Casas left Saturday's game with an apparent oblique injury. Manager Alex Cora expressed some concern about Casas, so we may see him hit the IL shortly. And lastly, third baseman Anthony Rendon injured his hamstring running the bases on Saturday. Considering Rendon's extensive injury history, it's very likely he'll be forced to hit the IL in the next couple of days. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Saturday, a day in which we had a full slate of 16 games as the Marlins and Cubs partook in a doubleheader. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Patrick Bailey versus the Diamondbacks as he helped the Giants to a win, going a perfect 4-for-4 with a run, a home run, two doubles, and three runs batted in. He's up to two home runs on the year now. This one traveled 407 feet with a 109.7 mph exit velocity. Bailey is the Giants' everyday catcher, making him a must roster in 15-team two-catcher leagues. However, he's doing his best to become viable in 12-team one-catcher leagues. Bailey's now batting .340 after the perfect day at the plate, and with the 109.7 mph homer he hit, he set a new max exit velocity for the young backstop. The switch hitter is an exceptional defender behind the plate, but he's pedestrian at the plate after a hot start during his 97-game debut last year. After starting his career batting .293 entering the All-Star break, Bailey batted just .188 with a 46 WRC plus in the second half last year. A healthy offseason allowing him to focus on his offensive production should have him pointed towards a recovery in 2024. If Bailey can tap into more power and reel in the strikeouts, his everyday role should begin to make him interesting in shallower leagues. Starling Marte had a big game as he helped the Mets to a win in Hollywood, going 2-for-5 with two runs, a home run, four runs batted in, and a stolen base to complete the combo meal. Marte is now up to four home runs and five stolen bases on the year. The home run traveled 432 feet with a 107.6 mph exit velocity. Marte is already looking like a great late-round selection. After posting his worst season at the age of 34 in 2023, it looked like Marte was entering the decline phase of his career. He's changing those fortunes in 2024, getting back to being the power-speed threat that made him a fantasy darling for nearly a decade. With seven barrels so far, Marte is already halfway to his mark from last year, hinting at a return to his 15-plus home run form. Additionally, after starting the year batting 5th or 6th, Marte's hot start has him vaulted into the 2-hole in the Mets lineup. Marte will earn plenty of run scoring opportunities in that position and should be universally rostered if he's hinting at a bounce back. Marte is rostered in less than 70% of Yahoo League, so double check to make sure he's not available in your league ahead of today's Fab run. And lastly, we have Miguel Sano in Cincinnati, as he did all he could, but the Angels still lost. Sano went 3-for-4 with a run, a home run, a double, and 3 runs batted in. It was his first home run of the year, and it traveled 391 feet with a 107.1 mile per hour exit velocity. Sano crushed his first long ball of the year, tugging at the nostalgia strings of Twins fans everywhere. Sano's been playing pretty regularly for the Angels after not seeing significant playing time in the majors since 2021. The right-handed slugger has seen time at both infield corners and at DH while batting fourth behind Mike Trout and Taylor Ward when he gets into the lineup. With Anthony Rendon leaving Saturday's game with an injury, Sano could see an influx of playing time at the hot corner if Rendon inevitably lands on the IL. That wouldn't make him a universal pickup by all means, but he's someone to put on your watch list as a legitimate power producer. Sano is very Joey Gallo-esque in that his average is likely to be closer to 200 with all of his strikeouts, but he's a threat to produce at a 30 home run pace when on the field, which is plenty valuable. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances from Saturday. We'll open things with Rodri Munoz versus the Cubs as the Marlins lost, but he took a no decision, tossing 5 innings, allowing 2 hits and 2 earned runs with 1 walk and 7 punchouts. Munoz, in his debut, induced 8 whiffs with a 29% CSW across 77 pitches. And I didn't really expect much from Munoz in his major league debut after he posted a 10.97 ERA with a 12.5% strikeout rate at AAA prior to his call-up, but he surprised me by earning whiffs across 4 different pitches as the kitchen sink approach kept Cubs hitters off balance throughout the game. Munoz is a sinker slider changeup pitcher whose primary offering is a cutter. That cutter induced 3 whiffs with 25% CSW as he lived glove side with the pitch on Saturday. I don't think Munoz will be more than a Toby, and with Braxton Garrett working his way back, I don't think we see much of Munoz this year. He'd only be a streamer against the weakest of teams anyway. But if he were to remain in the rotation, he'd get the Nationals next, and that's actually a matchup I'd consider. Reese Olson took the loss in Minnesota, tossing 5 innings, allowing 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He induced 13 whiffs with a 27% CSW across 95 pitches, and our streaming pick of the day went all right. Olson took a loss and struck out just 4 with an inflated whip, but we'll take the sub-4 ERA. His slider was exceptional, inducing 6 whiffs with a 39% CSW, and Olson dominated the vaunted Rangers lineup his last time out, which gave us the confidence to start him here, and while it wasn't spectacular, Olson should be a pitcher rostered almost universally in 12-team leagues and deeper. Olson's not flashy, but his deep 4-pitch mix should allow him to produce at the level of a Toby while hinting at some more. Last time out, Olson had a great feel for his secondaries, allowing him to stay away from his terrible heater. That pitch is the only thing holding Olson back from being a legitimately enticing breakout candidate. The fastball sports terrible marks in extension, IVB, and vertical approach angle despite its mid-90s velo, but having secondaries he can turn to at a moment's notice is key for the right-hander as it allows him to throw that terrible heater less than 30% of the time. It feels like he needs both of his secondaries working if he wants to truly carve up a lineup. That's what we saw against the Rangers, but with the changeup sporting a 95th percentile swinging strike rate and the slider an 89th percentile CSW, those pitches have been awfully trustworthy early on. Olson gets the Royals in his next start, and while I'm not expecting domination, he should do well enough to make things work there. And lastly, we have Cutter Crawford in Pittsburgh as he earned the win, tossing 6 innings of 1-run ball. He allowed 7 hits and 3 walks while striking out 6. Crawford induced 17 whiffs with a 37% CSW across 100 pitches, and that earned Crawford the King Cole as he led baseball with his 37% CSW. His cutter with a K was nasty, inducing 7 whiffs with 41% CSW. Meanwhile, both his sweeper and splitter put in work, combining for 9 whiffs across just 34 offerings with CSW rates north of 35%. Crawford has been one of the best pitchers in baseball to start the year, and he finally recorded his first win with another exceptional performance on Saturday. The right-hander leads the majors with his 0.66 ERA and has dominated thanks to the addition of a sweeper to his arsenal. With four secondary weapons to turn to, Crawford fits perfectly in the new Red Sox pitching philosophy of preferring off-speed and breaking pitches as opposed to fastballs. Crawford's fastball, though, is great, sporting top-of-the-line IVB and rounding out a balanced repertoire. Crawford was my breakout pick for starters this year, and while I've been proven right thus far, I don't think he's going to continue to pitch his way into the AL Cy Young conversation. Nonetheless, I'm beyond happy with what I've seen from Crawford, and he's an auto start when he takes on the Cubs this week. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Saturday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Emmanuel Clase recorded his sixth save of the year, and he's allowed just one run across his first 10 innings of work. Jordan Romano notched his second save as he settles into the closer role following an IL stint to start the year. Reed Garrett secured his first career save. Edwin Diaz got the final two outs of the eighth as he was used as a high leverage arm. That'll happen from time to time with him. Garrett, though, has been incredibly interesting this year with a pristine ERA across 10.2 innings. And he already has three wins and one save. And on top of that, the most bonkers thing is that he has a 51% strikeout rate. That's Reed Garrett. Another Garrett Clevinger locked down his first career save as well as the Rays stay away from the struggling Pete Fairbanks. He's been designated day-to-day, though he is not at risk of landing on the IL. Griffin Jacks is now up to two saves after pitching a perfect ninth on Saturday. He's the high-leverage arm in Minnesota, but he deserves universal rostering as an elite reliever with opportunities in the ninth inning. Tanner Scott came away with his third save after securing a newfound lead in the ninth of the first half of Saturday's doubleheader, and it was good to see him avoid the free pass in that one. After Adbert Alzolay blew the save in the first half of the doubleheader, Hector Neris notched his first save in the second half. It's unclear if he or Mark Leiter Jr. would get the first shot at the ninth if Alzolay continues to blow saves, so we'll have to wait to see what happens with that. Kenley Jansen struck out the side in the ninth on his way to his fifth save of the year. The velocity on his cutter was up, which is a good sign, and he's now just 12 saves shy of fourth place on the all-time saves leaderboard. Jose Alvarado was utilized to lock down the final out of the ballgame after Ricardo Pinto turned the ninth into a save situation with five earned runs. Alvarado got the job done with just one pitch and is now up to four saves and seems to be the preferred option in Philadelphia. Alexis Diaz secured his third save of the year with a perfect ninth against the Angels. Craig Kimbrell continued his successful start to the year with a clean night and his fifth save. And lastly, Raisel Iglesias notched his sixth save with a perfect ninth. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Camilo Doval struck out the side in order in the ninth with a four-run lead after the Giants' offense tacked on a pair of insurance runs in the eighth. Evan Phillips pitched the eighth with the Dodgers trailing by one and surrendered an unearned run. He hadn't pitched in 5 days, so it was clearly a maintenance outing for Phillips. Clay Holmes pitched a clean ninth in a tie game. The Yankees would go on to lose in the 10th. Abner Uribe recorded five outs across the 7th and 8th innings with his team leading by six. Uribe's pretty clearly not the preferred option in Milwaukee. Adbert Alzolay blew his fourth save as he attempted to secure the final four outs of the first half of Saturday's doubleheader. Mark Leiter Jr.'s stock continues to rise with Alzolay struggling and Julian Merriweather on the IL. And lastly, Kyle Finnegan earned his first win following a clean 10th inning, which set up the Nationals for a walk-off win. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable relief pitching performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. And now we'll look forward to Sunday, April 21st, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 16 games, as we'll have a doubleheader between the Mariners and the Rockies. My matchup of the day is Chris Bassitt versus Joe Musgrove as two vets with deep arsenals on contending squads square off. In terms of probable starters, we've got six guys in the auto starts tier, including Aaron Nola versus the White Sox, George Kirby in Colorado, and Christian Javier in Washington. Our probably starts tier has seven guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Casey Mize in Minnesota. Mize was great last time out against the Rangers, and now he gets a softer matchup in Minnesota as his new heater looks to overmatch the Twins. I'd also keep an eye out for Louis Varlin versus the Tigers. He'll be opposite Mize, and Varlin will look to get on track against a weak Tigers lineup. He's struggled thus far, but if he can locate his heater upstairs, Varlin can start to regain the trust of fantasy managers. In terms of hitter suggestions, Pirates hitters against Josh Winkowski should be a solid option as he makes his return to the rotation. Transitioning from the bullpen to the rotation can be tough, and the Pirates could jump on Winkowski. I'd also target Marlins hitters versus Kyle Hendricks, as he has a 12.71 ERA this year. Lastly, it's always smart to stream in Coors, and there will be a doubleheader there today, so pick up Mariners and Rockies hitters for their matchups against right-handed starters on Sunday. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Clay Holmes has pitched on back-to-back days and in three of the last four, so Ian Hamilton could get a shot at a save today. Jordan Romano has appeared in consecutive games, and so has Yimi Garcia, so Eric Swanson should appear if a save situation arises on Sunday. And lastly, Griffin Jacks has pitched in each of the past 2 days and in three of the past four, so Brock Stewart should be the top dog for the Twins today. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to PitcherList.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with PitcherList staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Bubba will be back with you on Monday and throughout the week. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.